Hi, in this section we're going to talk a little bit about conductors and insulators and then move on, and mostly we'll focus on talking about examples of electric current and some simple electrical circuits. We're not going to do a lot with electrical circuits, but I want you to have a basic understanding of how current, voltage, and power relate to each other. So we can think of electrical material is really being broken up or viewed as having three different kinds of features. One is as a conductor. That would be like a metal, copper, aluminum, iron. It conducts electricity. Electrons in these materials move very freely. Then there are insulators. An insulator would be something like glass or the rubber we talked about earlier. So our two materials, our rubber rod earlier and our glass rod earlier, were each made of materials that basically can be charged. So they're insulators, so you can put charge on them and it'll hold it. It'll hold the charge. In other words, charges do not easily flow on those materials. Then there's another kind of material that's in between. It's called a semiconductor. It's really not a good conductor, but it's not a good insulator either. So charge flows a little bit, but not great. Well, its modification of semiconductor characteristics that really makes all the electronics, the high-tech electronics that we're using today. So you might think you want ideally to have something that's either a great conductor or a great insulator, but and you do want those at times, but you also want things where you can control how good of an insulator or a conductor they are, and that's semiconductors. Well, let's talk about a little numerical example. So let's say we have a wire carrying a current of a half an amp, 0.5 amps, for 2 minutes. How much charge goes past a particular point in the wire in this time? And then how many electrons make up this amount of charge? Okay, well, since we have a current of a half an amp and a time of 2 minutes or 120 seconds, okay, we can look at it and say, well, I has the units of charge divided by time, so if I simply multiply by the amount of time that's passed, I'll have the total charge. This looks a lot like distance equals velocity times time. That's the comparison we're really making here. It's a fairly straightforward relationship. So I take that half an amp and multiply it by 120 seconds and I get 60 coulombs. Now, how many electrons make up this amount of charge? All I have to do is take my 60 coulombs and divide it by the number, or by rather the charge of a single electron. So I take 60 divided by 1.6 times 10 to the minus 19 coulombs. And I could do that coulombs per electron if you prefer. And I get 3.8 times 10 to the 20 electrons. Okay. So 1.6 times 10 to the minus 19 coulombs per electron really becomes just a conversion factor. Now comes the question of, well, how do we make charges move in a wire? Well, the answer is we need to place some sort of a force on those charges. And we do that by basically placing an electric field. Okay. So if you think about the equation we had before, F equals KQ1 Q2 over R squared, you could think of that as rewritten as F equals, say, Q1, which will be the charge we're trying to move, times E, where E is electric field, and E is basically that KQ2 over R squared. That sounds a bit like F equals mass times acceleration, where I've got, instead of mass, I've got a charge, instead of acceleration, I've got this thing E, which I'm calling an electric field. Okay. So the idea basically is, this is almost like talking about just some object of some mass moving in a gravitational potential. Oh, and if I create a system where, say, I lift the mass up and let it go, it's going to fall towards the Earth. Well, that's what I'm doing in a wire. When I hook a battery across a wire, all I'm really doing is creating a situation where the charges in the wire see going one direction is falling, and that's what they do. So we have the idea of electric potential energy, which is really, if I can create a situation where it looks like I have separated charges, bunch of minuses on one side and pluses on the other, and I put a minus between them, and it's free to flow, guess what? It's going to run towards the positive side. We normally talk about that as a voltage, that is that potential difference. So just like we can talk about electric field instead of an electric force where we pulled out the charge, we can talk about, instead of electric potential energy, we can talk about electric potential or voltage. Okay. So a voltage is really just our work or energy divided by the charge. So we have 1 volt is really just 1 joule per coulomb, energy divided by charge. It has an exact analogy to our mechanical system with masses and gravity. That brings us to Ohm's law, which lets us relate current to how easily charges move in a particular material. Now, I'm going to basically give you this relationship just to have you use it, but voltage equals current times resistance. A way to look at this as is, let's rewrite that a little bit as current equals voltage divided by resistance. Just simple algebra. Okay, I equals V over R. And that means that if we place a certain potential difference, voltage, across some material with a resistance R, we can think of that as basically it depends on, you know, what the atomic structure is. Then we'll get out of that a certain current. That's all it is. If R is infinitely large, that's a really big resistance, you get no current. If R is zero, well, you get a lot of current. Okay? So for a simple electrical circuit, we could think of a battery with a wire connecting us to one end of a light bulb, and then the wire from the other part of the light bulb goes to the other terminal of the battery, and we basically get current. Okay, what's the resistance? Well, you know how the light bulb heats up and it starts glowing? That's energy being given off. That's determined by the amount of resistance in the light bulb. Now, you'll see the water wheel analogy. I'm not going to really talk too much about the water wheel analogy, although that's really what we think of as going on in a battery. It sort of pumps charges chemically to one terminal, and then when you hook up a wire that gives it a path to the other terminal, the charges sort of fall downhill and return to where they were. Now let's talk about electrical power. So we've really talked about potential, electric potential, and electric current. Remember in electric potential, we removed that charge. So instead of talking about electric potential energy, we talk about electrical potential, which is just that energy divided by the charge. Well, let's think about what happens if we want to talk about something like power. Power is really work divided by time, or the amount of energy expended divided by time. It has units of joules per second, excuse me. And now look at potential. Potential is energy divided by charge. But current is just charge divided by time. So if I multiply potential by current, I'm left with energy or work divided by time. So power is just potential times current, or VI. Okay? Since voltage is often represented as current times resistance, power can also be represented as I squared R. You'll probably have a couple of math examples where you talk about that. And we'll do one here real quick, finding current in a given resistance. So here's a problem where they use a 60-watt light bulb, which is pretty funny because it's really hard to get 60-watt light bulbs these days. You're more likely to go into the store and pick up either a compact fluorescent or a diode LED light. So instead of 60 watts, you're more likely to have 6 or 8 watts in the case of an LED, but we'll use their 60 watts. So we've got a 60-watt light bulb and 120 volts is the potential, and so the question is, what's the current? Well, the current's easy. Power equals IV or VI. We know the power is 60 watts. We know the voltage, so we simply take 60 watts divided by 120 volts. We get 0.5 amps. We could also determine the current, or rather we know the current, and we can determine the resistance because P equals I squared R. So we know the power is 60 watts. That's going to equal 0.5 amps squared times the resistance. You do the algebra, you get 240 ohms. So I didn't talk about units yet for resistance, but we have some. Okay. We normally call a volt divided by an ampere, so potential divided by current, we call that unit an ohm. So 1 volt divided by 1 ampere is 1 ohm. Okay. Now I'll leave the other example to you to go ahead and read through yourself. I don't know that you need me to talk you through it. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit about household circuits, and then we're going to move on and talk about magnetism. Thank you.